This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bink, I think there is a way to fuse your world with Rob and I's world in one question.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony just got signed to the Los Angeles Lakers. He was the third overall pick in the 2003 NBA draft, still in the league. The Texans had the number three overall pick that year. They draft a wide receiver out of Florida. They drafted Andre Johnson. To go to show you, like, NBA time versus NFL time, how long has Andre Johnson been out of the league? And Andre Johnson had a great career. Like, I think Andre Johnson is a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Andre Johnson been out of the league like 6 years, and Melo just signed another year to play in the league. Just goes to show you that 03 NBA class is incredible. I mean, the top five picks, LeBron, Darko, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. Four of those guys had a great career. One did not.
Andre Johnson out of the league as a player in 16. He was a coach for the Texans in 19 also. You said he went to Florida? He went to the U, my man.
No, I'm in out of Miami, Florida. My apologies. I didn't know that he went to the U. Every time I think of Andre Johnson, I do think of beat up Courtland Finnegan. Like, there's really no other memory of Andre Johnson that I would think of. He just beat up Courtland Finnegan. So this is the time for you to get your questions in with Jay Binkley. Some people call it Ask Bink. That's not what we call it on this show. What is it, Bink?
Random question time!
Bink, do you think the Chiefs get a deal done with the Honey Badger before week one?
Man, you know, like, I was thinking that, but the more you hear, like, Clark Hunt talk, it's going to be the right time, the right place. Both of them have probably submitted packages to each other. Clark wants to get more of a general idea of where the salary cap is going. It could happen. Get the right information, the right intel before the season starts. I think they definitely want to do it. Get ahead of that Jamal Adams train and get him signed.
Are you ready to buy out of our Noah Gray bet?
No.
That we have.
No. By the way, do you know the Chiefs selected in 2003, speaking of Andre Johnson?
Derrick Johnson? No, that's way too late. Way too late.
It's a Johnson.
Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was it. Larry Johnson. Yeah, no, my bad. I completely messed that up. Text line 913-576-7610. Bink, if you could be an Olympic-level athlete at any sport, what would you pick?
Heavyweight boxing. I just like the Olympic boxing. Be heavyweight. Of course, you wouldn't be getting the big paydays like you would in the real world, but you did the Olympic stuff, then you get in the ring. I'd say boxing.
I didn't know you were a boxing guy like that.
I like it.
What's been the Olympic sport that you just, like, very casually find yourself watching? I've probably watched four water polo matches over the last
week. Water polo?
I love it. I don't know what it is about water polo that just is so interesting to me, but I love it.
I've really enjoyed track and field. Like, I really like that. Like, when they did the 100 meters, they turn the lights off, they do the lanes, they make it a big event, you know, for the 100. I've enjoyed the hurdles. I've enjoyed the field events. I enjoyed Chris Nielsen from Park Hill High School winning a gold, or silver, excuse me. The only Kansas City in the winning medal, north of the river, Park Hill High School. Might have heard of it, Rob.
Would you stop staring at me while you talk about the Northland?
I'm just saying, Northland won. Kansas City zero.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Did you know about Scott's Kitchen before we started talking about it on the show? Because yes, I did. You are the mayor to the Northland.
No, I did know Rob, about it. I went the next day to talk to Scott.
Rob, can you find their description? Because Scott's Kitchen sounded like the greatest place in the world. It is. Good vibes, great tacos, good food. I'm like, who wouldn't love this
There's
place?
Only one thing I get, the burnt-in sandwich. Every time. That and the beans.
Are you going to participate in our barbecue tour with Mitchell Schwartz?
I'd love to, because I love to. I sat down with Scott, and we chopped it up a little bit. Because you guys are talking, it made my mouth water, because I've been there, went and got a few things during quarantine, brought it back, loved the place. But I went and sat down with Scott, and we talked about barbecue. I said, I want to make some ribs. I want to learn how to make ribs.
He's
willing to show me.
It's a simply appointed outpost featuring American barbecue fare and tacos amid a warm, relaxed vibe.
How does that not sound like the greatest restaurant you've ever been to?
Dude, it is. Like, their Yelp ratings are unbelievable. Like, 1, 5, and 6 the last 3 years. It's really a cool. It's a good environment, too. It's neat. It's really neat. Bad location because not enough people know about it up there, but it's definitely good. And a lot of your listeners evidently knew about it. He said they were knocking down the door talking about the drive, talking about his place.
Text line.
That's what he said.
Text line 913-576-7610. Cody Tapp is offering free bait goods to anyone who picks him in Survivor. Bink, what are you offering in Survivor this year?
Not a damn thing, man. I'm just going to give you that
$1,500. An L? That's offering him an L?
Man, I've been down to the wire the last 2 years. It was me and Barber left last year. I've been down to the wire, man.
How do you think I'm going to do this year?
Man, I gave you some credit last year.
Thanks,
you're
going
to go further. I have you going at least till week 7 this year, week 8.
Do you mean to put a 1 in front of those, or what do you – was that like a
I just feel better for you this year. I picked you in the comp. Actually, I picked Rob, but I picked you too. You and Rob is the favorites.
Who's more likely to get back to the Super Bowl?
And Rob disappointed the hell out of me.
Rob's just a disappointment in general. Who do you think is more likely to get to the Super Bowl this year, Tampa Bay or Kansas City?
Kansas City, 100%. I think the Bucs get back.
You do think the Bucs win their division?
Yes. I do not think they get back to the SB. I'll take the pack.
Jimmy John's or Good Sense?
Jimmy John's.
I was somewhat weirdly anti-Jimmy John's for a while, and it used to be one not far from my apartment, so I was like, you know what? It's only $1 for them to bring it over here. I'll try it one day. Changed my life. That food was amazing.
Did I ever tell you a story? I love Jimmy John's. I get it all the time. So what I did is I had $20 in my wallet.
Okay.
And I ordered it. Sandwich delivery comes there from the place, and I give her my 20. She goes, why don't I have change? He's like, I understand if I gave you 50 or 100. I gave you 20, and the sandwich is like $12.
So what happened? Did you give her the whole 20, or she didn't give you the sandwich?
No, I sent the sandwich back.
She couldn't just give you the sandwich in that scenario?
No, she took it back. So I was like, all right.
You could have
paid. And I ordered all the time from them.
You could have paid for it if you had Cash App, but you definitely didn't have Cash App or Venmo back then.
I have it now. I have it now. Rob knows that. He's my friend. The only friend I have on there.
I'm your
friend. Giving me a damn thing.
I'm your friend.
No, yeah, I'm Venmo. You're not my friend yet.
I don't know your Venmo name. How
Rob knows it.
Okay, my bad.
It's like Jay Binkley in KC, something like that.
Bink, how would you compare or contrast the Chiefs' dominance versus what Seattle did a few years ago? Seattle hasn't been back to a Super Bowl since.
I'm just more of a Mahomes guy than Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson will show you great things and flashes. He'll be talked about for the MVP and then not get a damn vote at the end of the season. That's the biggest difference to me. And the porous offensive line. I know the Chiefs' offensive line didn't exactly show you a ton in the Super Bowl, but other than that, they were a serviceable offensive line. Russell Wilson usually leads the NFL in sacks or the top three. That's the biggest difference. And Seattle's defense has been a bit better on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I look at this year sort of as, I don't know yet when it comes to the Chiefs versus Seattle.
I think Mahomes is just a different level than Russell Wilson. That's the big difference.
Seattle went to the 2 Super Bowls, and they haven't been back. Let's see what Kansas City does. Like, this year, for the most part, Kansas City mostly returns its core with the new and improved offensive line. Like, you can argue that their offensive line is better heading into week one this year than it was heading into week one last year based on the additions that they've made. Let's see. Like, I don't know if anyone can answer that question pretty definitively. We'll know. The Chiefs have a chance to do something that Seattle couldn't do.
And not only that, the Chiefs are going to be like the Seahawks. Everybody looked to see who they were going to cut. It's how we got Spencer Ware, how you got Ron Parker. Now teams are going to wait to see who the Chiefs cut on the offensive line. They're going to cut Super Bowl starters on this offensive line from the last 2 years. We'll be on the scrap heap for the Chiefs, in my opinion. Big difference between the two. Seattle's always been huge on undrafted free agents. They only send out pamphlets. They try to lure them to Seattle. They do a nice job of trying to bring those guys in and get some talent out of those guys.
Rob, cut the beat. You said something interesting there. Who do you think are those guys that are potentially going to be cut at the bottom half of this roster? Are we talking about a Nick Allegretti? Are we talking about an Andrew Wiley? who are you talking about being some of these cuts? Because I would say, you and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. If I told you right now to make their 53-man roster today, and you've been to, what, one or two practices, I think you get like 51 of their players right. I think you get it pretty close. I think we know who the team is. Who do you see is getting cut?
I think LDT might be on the bubble. You know, he missed last year. His quality of play, I know he won a Super Bowl the year before, maybe not up to what his standards were at that point. I think he's positioned him so far himself down the depth chart. Allegretti's younger, a cheaper option. Austin Blythe, cheaper option, makes less than $1 million. And Kyle Long, the floater. I just think that LDT, now he could make this team. It depends on if they keep 9 or 10 linemen. But if they keep 9 offensive linemen, I think he could be on the cut line.
I really think that he's the only surprise cut when it comes to this team. I can't really think of anybody else who would count as a surprise cut. I know you look at a guy like Davian Key and he's on a different category of being a surprise cut. Like, he's going to end up taking a roster spot that at the very beginning I just didn't really account for. Like, he's going to end up making this team. I wonder if somebody like Will Parks, who played for the Broncos, if he's going to end up making this team. But we know that the safety room is pretty crowded. I don't really know if there's a lot of available roster spots that are open for this team, especially when you factor in, you know, Tobe's going to pick a guy or two. So a guy like Marcus Kemp, maybe on other teams he'd be on the cut line. There's no chance he's on the cut line if he's healthy for this team.
For Fazer in those type of guys. But you think about, like, 16-man practice squads. They kept that rule, you know, through COVID, 16-man. You can protect four, and four of your guys can have 2 or more years of accrued service. You know, it's what our guy Evan Bain's been living on. You know, that extra year of recruit service, being able to put on practice squad. He signed with the Lions yesterday.
I saw that.
It was good for Evan there. But, I mean, the practice squad could be plentiful for the Chiefs. Good news is they can protect players, and you can put not all of them, but you can a few of them, 4 of them, but you can have accrued 2 years of accrued service and still throw them on the practice squad, which I think is very helpful for this team.
Do you think Key makes the opening day roster? You think he's on practice
squad? I
do, man.
I think Devin makes it. You know, he's sitting out there running with the ones today. He's shown some flashes, and keep in mind,
who do you have their safeties at then? So Matthew Thornhill, Sorensen, Key, and Sorensen, Parks is Key. The odd man out?
Parks odd man out.
Okay. You think he goes to practice squad or no?
Practice squad.
Okay.
As a crude veteran.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I really like Devin Key. I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't drafted. He's supposed
team
to
likes
to,
him too.
He was supposed to go in at least the 6th round, somewhere there, 6th, 7th round, but later round guy, 350 tackles at Western Kentucky. I mean, the guy was all over the place.
Text line 913-576-7610. I think I'll get you out of here on this. Do you think that LDT's cap hit is too much for the Chiefs to absorb? Because I know a lot of people have that feeling. We're talking about $7 million. Now, from a financial standpoint, it's better for him to be on the team than not on the team. But we ain't talking about a $22 million cap hit if you move on from Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He's not going to be your starting right guard at this point. I think it's pretty clearly going to be Trey Smith. Maybe he's a guy that you can get something from a trade aspect, but I don't know why would a team trade for $7 million if you think he's going to cut and not be a starter. Let him get released and then sign a deal with them, then sign a free agent deal with them. I don't think the LDD's cap hit is enough to keep him on the team if he doesn't start.
Yeah, and there's no question about it. I don't think there's a way that he starts right now. I mean, you got a rookie, a 6th-round pick, you know, taking the snaps over LDT. At this point, listen, he's done great stuff. He's a good dude. He won a ring with this team, but business is business. He's got to show me a little bit more. Missing a year of football, I think, sent some of these guys back. Now, Niang's proven, you know, differently, but he's a lot younger, too. And he's fresh out of college, missed a year. I think he would have been on a pup list last year anyway.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley, joining us in the studio talking a little football. Thanks, Bink.
Thanks, Doc.
Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Indianapolis. We'll talk to Kevin Bowen of 1070, the Fan in Indy. We continue to pour out liquor for Bink's second best team in the AFC. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive.
We'll get to the phone lines momentarily. I want to share a stat with you really quick, Rob. I think you'll appreciate it. Maybe like six of you listening will also appreciate it. Rob, right now, if the Lakers sign Andre Iguodala to a contract, they would have 45% of the 2012 Olympic men's basketball team on their roster. They'll have 45%. That's how old the Lakers are right now. I'm telling you, the Lakers would have been the best team ever back in 2013. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts. I was joking a little tongue-in-cheek with our guy Jay Binkley. He had the Colts as the second-best team in the AFC heading into the start of the season. Pretty difficult, I think, to put them that high now, given everything that's happened the last 48 to 72 hours. We head to the phone lines to be joined by Kevin Bowen of 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, appreciate you hopping on again. What have the last week been like to cover the Colts?
Well, hell might be a way to describe it. Certainly for this fan base, that's how they would describe it. It's been literally every single day there's been a storyline that I feel like the Colts don't usually lead SportsCenter, and they easily could lead SportsCenter with all these headlines. So injuries, COVID, just a whole lot. And, I mean, marquee injuries to a big-time player. So it's been quite the start to camp.
Wasn't this the fear whenever you initially traded for Carson Wentz? Now, I know the foot injury isn't something that you can avoid, but he was often injured in Philadelphia. Now, before he even plays a preseason game with the Colts, we already feel like he's going to miss potentially the first month of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely, you know, one of the debates you would have had inside that room about trading for Carson Wentz is the fact that, you know, even if you go back to his days in North Dakota State, he was an injured quarterback there. I mean, a wrist, ribs, the ACL, a back, concussion, and now this foot injury. So, you know, for a guy that does move outside of the pocket, that can make plays with his legs, this was definitely, you know, part of that evaluation process that you had to have kind of debated, and the Colts felt good about it. They still elected to a significant veteran move on the free agent market, quarterback-wise, entering camp. All three of their other QBs besides Wentz, none of them addressed for an NFL game, let alone throwing a pass. So this was certainly something that organizationally Chris Ballard, Frank Wright had to have discussed before.
I don't really know if you could give a much wider range than the Colts gave when it came to Carson Wentz's injury. 5 to 12 weeks, those two numbers are not close to each other. What's the feeling in Indianapolis about when they can officially see Carson Wentz as their starting QB?
Yeah, it was quite the timetable, and basically mid to late August that will allow for, I think, a little bit of a clear picture definitively exactly when they expect him back. Basically, he had surgery yesterday. This is something to where, you know, about 2 weeks of kind of rest, and then once you start to rehab, start to get on that foot, that's when you can have an idea of like, all right, this is going to be in the 5 to 6 range or the 7 to 8 or the, you know, 10 to 11, something like that. I do feel like with this injury, which ironically enough, Quentin Nelson, is, as we speak, is under the knife having the same exact surgery on a different foot. You know, it was his right foot, I believe, with Carson. It was his plant foot, his left foot. So, you know, that is something that now the Colts are dealing with both of these guys. They feel like with bigger guys, Nelson obviously being bigger, Wentz they would throw into that category. And not speed guys. They just feel like speed guys, it takes them a little bit longer. So, you know, for those in the fantasy world or those just caring about the Colts, you know, I think there is some optimism internally that maybe these guys won't be out as long as if this happens to, you know, whatever, a T.Y. Hilton or a Tyreek Hill.
Right now we're talking to Kevin Bowen. He covers the Indianapolis Colts for 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Indy finds themselves in the epicenter of NFL stories right now. Carson Wentz out for the early part of the season. Also Quentin Nelson, who is arguably the best offensive lineman in the NFL. Keeping it with Wentz, last question on him. What do you think is the future plan at quarterback? Could you see them maybe trying to trade for Gardner Minshew? Could they make a play for Nick Foles? Or is it simply to ride with Jake Eason until Wentz returns?
You know, I was in the pro-Eason camp. Let's see what you have in this fourth-round pick from 2 years ago. And honestly, this Nelson news has me more in that camp. And I know it's kind of a loser mentality, but I look at it as you look at the Colts' schedule, and literally the first five games, it's one of the hardest stretches to start a season that any NFL team has ever had. And I don't say that in hyperbole. There are actual, like, facts behind that. So I just felt like even with a healthy Carson Wentz, you would have been, you know, 2-3, maybe 3-2. I kind of look at it and say, you know, do you really want to jeopardize some resources, draft pick, cap space, whatever, when your record, you know, might not fluctuate a whole lot depending on who is under center. Now, watching Eason, there are ups and downs of camp. You've got to watch him in the preseason. And then late August, you know, certainly you have to keep a close eye ink on, okay, how do the quarterback battles play out in Chicago, like you mentioned, Jacksonville, like you said. What about New England? What about Denver? You know, I think those are a couple other quarterback battles, I think, to keep an eye on. And then evaluate, is one's going to be out more of 10 weeks? Does Eason look god-awful? Then if that's the case, then I do think you probably go outside your building to make that quarterback move. But, you know, I would look into Eason just because it's such a great evaluation period to see him in live settings, things like that. And to me, if Carson Wentz isn't the answer, it allows you to evaluate Jacob Eason, again, in those settings that are so real, and then that will help you, I think, better make a decision next offseason on how you handle the quarterback position.
So we're in AFC West country. You're in an AFC South country. Now knowing what the Colts could potentially face the first month, 2 months of the season, how are you handicapping that division?
Yeah, you know, prior to this, I would have said coin flip. Tennessee or Indianapolis, I think the Colts are the more well-rounded team. I think Tennessee has got obviously a little bit more pop offensively. But now you got to call the Titans the favorite. And another reason why I say that is week three in Tennessee, the first road game of the year, potentially could be the first road start of a guy like Jacob Eason's career. That game is there on the schedule. They also play Tennessee on Halloween, so both of those meetings are early in the season. That's not ideal for the Colts and where they're at right now. So I would call Tennessee the favorite. I think it's the easiest division in the AFC, though. Seven playoff teams. Yes, you know, I think we thought it would be a difficult start here for the Colts anyways. I still think as long as Carson isn't out too long, this is a team that could kind of back their way into a wild card spot.
And that is Kevin Bowen joining us on the show today from 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. But the top story right now in the NFL, the Colts missing Carson Wentz early on in the season, also missing Quentin Nelson, who is arguably the best offensive lineman in the NFL. Kevin, appreciate you hopping on, man. Thanks a bunch.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. That's Kevin Bowen joining us on the show today. Rob, I know for some strange reason you are very anti-Tennessee Titans. Is it possible now with this injury news that the Titans become the biggest challenger to the Chiefs for the number one overall seed? Their division has gotten drastically easier over the course of the last 72 hours. We're talking about a team who the last couple of years, 2 years ago, they got to the AFC Championship game. Last year, they won double-digit games, won that division, hosted a playoff game. This year, if you're looking at their division, so they get the AFC East in the rotation. So Jets in a transition, Dolphins, good team, New England in a good team, but in a transition, Buffalo. Then you look at their division. You get two games against Jacksonville, clearly in a transition, two games against Houston, bad football team. Two games against the Colts, who on paper we thought was going to be a good team at the beginning of the season, but now the injury bug is just biting them left and right. Tennessee, if you had to ask me right now, they're like a 12-5, 13-4 kind of team on paper. Do you look at Tennessee as potentially being the biggest threat to Kansas City to have home field advantage in the bye in the AFC playoffs?
No. They're not the biggest of the Kansas City, but I will concede with the injury to Nelson and Wentz that the Colts are no longer my pick to win the AFC South. I think it is now the Tennessee Titans. I think an important part you left out of the equation, because they do have the East, which is tough, and they also have their own division, which I think the Colts will eventually give them a scare here or there. I think the Jags could give them a scare. The Texans are horrible. Is that they're going to have to play the first place counter schedule, correct? They won their division last year. That's how it's going to shake out. So they have to play the Chiefs. That's a loss on their schedule, even though I know it's in Nashville this year. That's a loss. You are really, really high on the Ravens. The Steelers, I believe, won the division last year. I can't remember who won that division last year. Steelers is a win for them. But I think they'll win the South, but I do not think they're a threat to the Kansas City Chiefs for the one seed. I think the only team that's a threat to the Chiefs for the one seed is the Cleveland Browns.
It's interesting, because when you say that about Tennessee against Kansas City, I kind of perk up a little bit, because I'm like, well, Tennessee's at home. I assume Tennessee is going to be a slight favorite in that game. Like, I think that's going to be a little bit of a pick of maybe Tennessee minus one or two, just because you're home in the NFL. It's funny, because all of us know Kansas City is going to lose a game or two this season. It is virtually impossible to pick what that game is on the schedule. I would say that the game at Tennessee is probably their most difficult game of the season. If we're looking at their schedule at Tennessee, now they play some teams I think are better than them, but all of those games are at home. Green Bay's at home. Cleveland's at home. I mean, it might be a tie between at Baltimore and at Tennessee, but you've matched up really well against Baltimore the last two, 3 years that you've gone against them. At Tennessee, on paper, is probably the hardest game this season for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, you had my ears perk up, because Chiefs at Ravens is the toughest game on the Chiefs calendar for a road game. I think they have tough home games.
They match up so well against them that on paper, I agree with you. I think Baltimore is the third best team in the AFC. I think they're better than Tennessee. They've just matched up so well against them that, at least right now, I don't know how I could pick Baltimore to beat Kansas City with the information that we have. Now, maybe Baltimore wins that game and we got to realign our thinking, but based on right now, why would you pick Baltimore to beat Kansas City in a football game? I just don't know if you can say, I don't know if you can pick it.
That's fair. I also have two other road games on the schedule that are going to make me unpopular on the text line, that I think the Chiefs will go 1-1 in these games, either at Vegas or at the Chargers. Two Sunday night football games, I believe. Prime time. The Raiders gave them all sorts of fits last season. I think if there was a crowd in Vegas, it would be a different atmosphere. And everyone and their mother, including us two, are high on the Chargers. That'll be a prime time game late in the season. I think the Chiefs drop one of those two this year, but still win the West.
I could see why you could pick that. I will say, though, when it comes to Kansas City, now, to be fair, they win a majority of their games anyway. If there's a game you know they have circled, that's not the game they're going to drop. Like, that's not the game that they're going to kind of be lackadaisical through. Like, that's the game that you're going to get their focus. I think that the Mahomes comment at the Lake Tahoe golf tournament was a prism into his mind. I'll believe it when I see it. That the same way that fans feel like the Chargers get all of this love and all their flowers and everybody picks them, I thought that Mahomes let you know in that moment that he listens to it. He hears exactly what you're saying, and he knows what people are saying in that regard. So I think those are the games that they kind of get up for, and I'm kind of looking at their schedule here. They got those back-to-back games against Washington on the road. They then turn around and play Tennessee on the road. That's just typically a spot in which you slip up in the NFL and you lose one of those two games. It's kind of hard to pick which one you're going to lose, but those are typically those spots in the NFL in which you just come out flat in one of those games. The game's going to be closer than you anticipate going into the fourth quarter, and then anything can happen. One of those two games is going to be close.
No, you're right. I agree. I agree with all that. And you're right. It's like, it's this odd thing with Chiefs fans, and I haven't checked the text line. I'm sure there's someone's like, Roe, how can you say they're going to lose to an AFC West team? But, like, we all know they're not going 17-0. But for some reason, you ask a Chiefs fan, identify the loss, no one can do it. I think they are going to drop an AFC West game on the road this year. I mean, they're probably going to drop another one at home, and then they get, like, another random one on the road, and that's how you get to 14-3. Because as of August 3rd, that's kind of my prediction. But it's also a thing where I don't think they're going to be, barring injury, I don't think they're going to be a dog in any game this season. I don't foresee that. I think they're going to lose games, but I don't think they're going to be a dog all season.
Yeah, the only one to me that even makes sense for them potentially being the underdog would be at Tennessee in the middle part of the season. Like, even against Baltimore, just given their track record, they're going to be like -3.5-point favorites going into that game, and I think you'd have to take Kansas City.
But by the time that Tennessee game happens, and maybe I'm just wishing something I've been predicting for a while, the Titans defense will be like 31st in the NFL because Mike Vrabel can't coach up a talentless group, and this line will swing back to Kansas City because even, again, barring major injury, with a bad defense, even with the home field, I don't think you could make Tennessee the favorite. But that's me assuming the defense is going to be horrible down there this season, and the Chiefs offense will run ramp shot.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So, Sporting News had an article earlier today that gave a certain group of players on every team in the NFL and what their percentage chance was of making the Hall of Fame. Kelce is at 100%. Mahomes is at 100%. I'm not going to waste your time on those because I 100% agree. I think Mahomes could retire right now and make the Gale Sayers argument. If we're talking accomplishments early on in his career, one MVP, one Super Bowl MVP, two AFC championship game appearances, two Super Bowl appearances, one 5,000-yard season, one 50-touchdown season, all we're arguing then is longevity. If he just played 9 good years left in the league and retired with that, I think he'd probably get in just with those qualifications just based on his own. I think Mahomes could retire at the end of this season and already be into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Kelce's probably like 95% into the Hall of Fame, but is going to be 100 because he's going to continue to play and put up numbers, but I'd put his chances right now at like 95%. I don't look at him as the same lock that I look at Mahomes, but I think he's going to go into the Hall of Fame. But there's four other names. Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, and Joe Tooney was on the list. We're going to play a very simple game called Too High, Too Little, Just Right.
We will start Too High, Too Little, Just Right with Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs' speedster wide receiver. He came in at 80%. Carrington, too high, too low, or is it just right?
I think that 80% is probably a little bit too high right now for Tyreek Hill to go into the Hall of Fame. I will say that it's trending in the right direction, but I think we somewhat overestimate, at least when it comes to wide receiver, how hard it is to make it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a wide receiver. Like, that's starting to become one of the hardest positions to get into in the NFL because of the way that the numbers have really ballooned of late. Like, I was surprised that Calvin Johnson ended up being a first ballot Hall of Famer. I thought that Calvin Johnson was going to have to wait, very similar to what we saw with T.O., very similar to what we saw with Chris Carter. Like, the NFL is kind of known for making guys wait when it comes to wide receiver. So I would put it probably right now is a little bit too high. I'd put Tyreek Hill's chances of making the Hall of Fame at probably 60%. But I do think it is more likely that he's in the Hall of Fame than not in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to go 60% though for Tyreek Hill.
What about Mr. Snowcone himself, Chris Jones? Sporting News had him at a 50% chance. Too high, too low, or just right?
Way too high on Chris Jones. What would be the argument for Chris Jones going into the Hall of Fame right now? Now, I'm big on, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, on what are your accolades? Chris Jones has never been first-team All-Pro at his position. He's been second-team All-Pro a couple of times. Now, he is behind maybe the greatest defensive tackle of all time, but in the end, that stuff really matters. Chris Jones only has 2 Pro Bowl appearances. He's had one, I would say, dominant season in the NFL in which he had a double-digit sack year. I think Chris Jones is a great player. To say it's a 50-50 chance on Chris Jones making the Hall of Fame, I think is way too high. I'm going to go Chris Jones probably has like a 10 to 15% chance of making the Hall of Fame. I think they're way off on that number.
We continue on. The Sporting News had Chiefs safety Tyrann Mathieu at 40% to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Carrington, for Tyrann Mathieu at 40%. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
I actually think that Tyrann Mathieu is way too low. Like, I think Tyrann Mathieu is probably where Tyreek Hill should be. I would put Tyrann Mathieu's chance at making the Pro Football Hall of Fame right now at like 70%. Again, the same argument with Chris Jones when it comes to accolades. Tyrann Mathieu has them. three-time first-team All-Pro. He's on the All-Decade team. That stuff matters when it comes to this. If you look at the All-Decade team and the history of it, typically if you're on the first-team All-Decade team, you end up making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also with his versatility, and you also got to factor in Tyrann Mathieu is good with the media, and Tyrann Mathieu is incredibly likable. Those are the kind of things that eventually get you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Tyrann's percentage is way too low here. I'm going to put his chances at like 70-75%. I think Tyrann Mathieu will eventually be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And the final one the Sporting News had on their list for Kansas City Chiefs, one of the newest Chiefs, Joe Tooney. The Sporting News had Joe Tooney's Hall of Fame chance at 10%. Carrington, too high, too low, or just right?
All right, I got to go the accolades argument when it comes to Joe Tooney. Never made a first-team All-Pro, but the interesting thing is he is on the New England Patriots All-Decade team. I'm going to argue that Tooney's is probably a little bit too low here. I'll put Tooney at a 25% chance. Let's say that Joe Tooney plays here. He wins two more rings. That means Mahomes gets the three. Joe Tooney gets the four rings. He gets the four championship rings. He was a critical member of the Patriots, also a critical member of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a Hall of Fame argument there. You probably need a little bit more accolades. You need to be a first-team All-Pro guy a couple of times. You need to be a guy who has a chance to be on the All-Decade team at the end of the 2020s. But I think Joe Tooney at 10% is a little bit too low. I'll put his chances at 20-25% chance of Joe Tooney making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Coming up on the other side, I'm making a vow to you. Every time I hear an amazing Michael Jordan story, I'm going to share it with you on this show. I heard one yesterday, and I, hands to God, have listened to it about 11 times. I played it for Rob, and he fell out of his chair listening to it. I'll play it for you next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So we were talking about, there was a story on Sporting News about the percentage chance that Chiefs would make the Hall of Fame. They had Kelce and Mahomes at 100%, Tyreek Hill at 80%, Chris Jones at a 50-50, Tyrann Mathieu at 40%, and Joe Tooney was at 10%. Someone texted in, Kelce is more of a lock than Mahomes, in my opinion. I would probably agree with you, but I think it's only really a longevity argument. The hardest thing, I think, against Travis Kelce, and I want to be clear, I think Travis Kelce is eventually going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is there's just not a lot of players at his position in the Hall of Fame. Rob, this is every tight end in the Hall of Fame. Dave Casper, Mike Ditka, John Mackey, Ozzie Newsome, Charlie Sanders, Shannon Sharp, Jackie Smith, Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez. That's it. There's a lot of wide receivers in there. There's a lot of quarterbacks in there. It's just been a really high threshold of what you need to be as a tight end to eventually go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, if Travis Kelce decided at the end of the season that I'm retiring and walking away, I would say that he was as good at his position as Shannon Sharp. And if Shannon Sharp got into the Hall of Fame, then Travis Kelce should also be into the Hall of Fame. So that's why I put it at 95%. For Patrick Mahomes, I just think it would just only be the Gale Sayers argument, and it would be really difficult to keep him out. Now, I know it's a different position, but if you let Terrell Davis into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I don't know what the argument would then not be for Patrick Mahomes to get in. Now, I understand the shelf life for a running back is different than the shelf life for a quarterback, but if Terrell Davis is in the league and there's nothing Terrell Davis did and accomplished in the league that Patrick Mahomes hasn't accomplished in his short amount of time of being in the league, then I'd argue that Mahomes should be in if Terrell Davis has been in. Terrell Davis had basically four good seasons. He ran for 1,000 yards, four straight seasons. He was great, really, for 3 years, and then it was completely over. Terrell Davis had four good seasons in the NFL. I assume this year is going to go great for Patrick Mahomes. He'd have four good seasons, too, and have almost every single accolade that Terrell Davis had acquired.
Your point about tight ends and how few are in the Hall of Fame is totally valid, but I also think we're about to see an explosion of tight ends in the Hall of Fame. So I think you're right. There's, what, a handful in right now? I think you're going to see as many in right now come in the next 15, 20 years as are in now. Antonio Gates will be in the Hall of Fame. Travis Kelce will be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree on those two.
Jimmy Graham will probably end up in the Hall of Fame. George Kittle.
Let me ask you a question.
George Kittle's going to the Hall of Fame.
Let me ask you a question.
Those four are Gronk, Hall of Famer.
Do we feel like Graham was a Hall of Famer? We all lived through the Jimmy Graham era. We feel like Jimmy Graham. How many 1,000-yard seasons do you think Jimmy Graham had in his career?
Two.
He never had one outside of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I don't think Jimmy Graham's a pro. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He led the NFL in touchdowns one season as a tight end.
Yeah, he had one. He had two. I'll give him two. He had two great seasons in the league. Two great seasons. I would say outside of that, he was just good. I would not vote for Jimmy Graham to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. In fact, I'd be pretty adamant that Jimmy Graham's not a top. Right now, if you put Jimmy Graham in, you're arguing that he is one of the 12 greatest tight ends of all time. I don't feel like he's that. I feel like Jimmy Graham is just Darren Waller right now. Everybody's arguing Darren Waller is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Peak Jimmy Graham is peak Darren Waller. I don't feel like that's a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't vote for Jimmy Graham.
All right, if I can get the internet to load in here. Okay, let's play a game, the accolade game. One of these players is a Hall of Famer. One of these players is not. You tell me, they play the same position, what the difference in their accolades are. One of them was a 5-time Pro Bowler and a 2-time All-Pro. The other is a 5-time Pro Bowler, but a 1-time All-Pro.
I know the 1-time All-Pro is Jimmy Graham. Correct. I know that because I'm looking at his page right now.
The other guy has one more All-Pro and is in the Hall of Fame as a tight end with the exact same amount of Pro Bowls. Jimmy Graham could rack up another Pro Bowl.
I'm assuming that's Shannon Sharp.
Mike Ditka.
How they play? Because why are you doing that with Mike Ditka?
He's a tight end in the Hall of Fame.
Doing that with Mike. We're not playing the numbers game with Mike Ditka.
Fine. I'll play the numbers game with someone else.
Mike Ditka was born in 1939. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that with Mike Ditka. How dare you do that to the star of kicking and screaming? How dare you do that?
Fine, I got another guy. One guy.
He retired in 1972.
Here's another Hall of Famer at the tight end position.
They didn't even have all pros back in 1972. You're talking pre-league merger, he was balling.
Here's another Hall of Fame tight end.
Mike Ditka.
Hall of Fame tight end here had 5-time Pro Bowls and no all pro, but had exactly one 1,000-yard receiving season and never had more than 9 touchdowns in a season, let alone lead the league.
I'm scared of who the –
Was Jimmy Graham better than this man?
Who is
– Jackie Smith, who's in the Hall of Fame. The tight end position is going to explode, and Jimmy Graham's going in. I'm not even a big Jimmy Graham fan, but he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Rob, I don't want to talk –
Accept this reality.
I don't want to talk football with you anymore. I really don't. You want to know when Jackie Smith was born? 1940.
You're supposed to compare him with other players in the Hall of Fame at his position.
Mans was born in 1940. They barely had the four. They weren't even playing 16 games when he was in the league. No, we're not comparing Jimmy Graham to those old people. That's not what we're doing here.
There's only so many people compared to when there's only so many Hall of Famers at the position.
You watch Jimmy Graham. Text line 913-576-7610. You watch Jimmy Graham. We saw Jimmy Graham's entire career. He was in the league from 2010. Hell, he's still in the league right now.
I'm going to say, his entire career ain't over yet.
He's still in the league. He is not a Hall of Famer.
He's going to – in my Hall of Fame where I don't let anyone in? No, he's not in. But in the NFL Hall of Fame, which is trending toward the basketball one. Which is trending toward the basketball Hall of Fame. They're letting everyone in nowadays in the NFL.
Oh, anybody in.
Yeah. I think Jimmy Graham's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame because I think the Hall of Fame should be more exclusive. But let's be honest, the NFL Hall of Fame is trending toward being basketballs, which me and you are in, so he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
You're crazy. I can't believe you're arguing Jimmy Graham's going in the Hall of Fame.
Kittle too, probably Waller.
I want to play this audio for you guys. This Michael Jordan story had me in tears earlier today when I watched it.
He may not like this story. In 98, we're playing the Utah Jazz. The first quarter ends. Luke has 12 points, 4 blocks, and 4 rebounds. And I go to Luke, I say, that's how you f***ing play, man. You do that, we dominate. We up by 16 at the end of the game. Luke had 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 blocks. We're winning by 16, we lose by 15. And I just looked at Luke and I said, you know what, Luke? That is the last time I'm going to give you a compliment in the middle of the game.
So there is a Luke Longley documentary right now. I have not seen it yet. I'm not going to lie to you. I never thought I needed a Luke Longley documentary, but now I'm certainly here for a Luke Longley documentary. If you think about it now, Rob, peak Luke Longley would give this Team USA absolute fits. Luke Longley would put Bam Adebayo in an absolute blender if they wouldn't play basketball today. Would put him in an absolute blender today. I can't think of anything more disappointing in sports than letting down Michael Jordan. Like, Mike comes over there and gives you a compliment, Rob, and you're feeling so good about yourself. Like, yo, you was hooping. You was getting buckets. You had 12, 4, and 6 in the first quarter of the game. Mike comes over there and congratulates you. And then at the end, Mike didn't say it. We know Mike now. Mike didn't say it in that tone to Luke Longley. He definitely cursed at Luke Longley when he said that. And Luke Longley was probably never the same individual. Someone on the text line makes a good point, Rob, as we continue to argue this. Who is better in their prime, Greg Olsen or Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham.
Let me look it up. I'm going to look up Greg Olsen, and we'll just keep arguing about players and going into the Hall of Fame. That's what we do here on The Drive. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mike Vernon. He has been the best college football insider in regards to the University of Kansas. We'll talk to him about what conference they could potentially land in. Mike Vernon joins the show next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.